Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This from TBR on Twitter. He writes, RG4 and Kevin Sheehan's 89th rated receiver in the NFL will not play this week. Good one, TBR. That made me laugh out loud. 89th rated receiver. Not exactly. A bit of an exaggeration. For sure. This segment of the show is brought to you by Paramount. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 4 matchup between Washington and Atlanta. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Ben Standing is with us, as he is every Friday in this spot. Substack, Last Man Standing. Last Man Standing is the name of his podcast as well. You can follow him on X on Twitter, at Ben Standing. So give us the update. Saw that you tweeted out the players that were missing from the open portion of the practice. What do you think that will foretell?
Yeah, well, we haven't seen Terry McLaurin all week, so I think it's pretty confident to say he's out. We haven't seen Noah Brown or John Bates, and they, of course, missed last week, so I would assume they're out. And then as far as the main attraction, Jaden Daniels, he wasn't out there today, which when we were there, which doesn't mean he won't come later. That's what happened last Friday. He came out and was a limited participant. He's been limited so far this week. Unless Dan Quinn walks into the media room in the next, you know, when he comes in of 20 minutes or so and just says, boy, you know what, I haven't seen Jaden look this good in a while, I'd be stunned if he's going to play at this point. I shouldn't say stunned, but I would be surprised. You know, I mean, Jaden clearly wants to push it. He at least has been out there the last few days, unlike some of these other guys, and we've seen him moving around. But, you know, it just doesn't seem like he's all the way ready to go. And the, you know, I mean, they've clearly are not, they shouldn't, and I don't think they would, throw him out there if he's not ready to go. On top of the fact that, you know, they are looking like they're going to be very shorthanded. I'm not saying you wouldn't hold him back because of that, but it doesn't help the cause if, you know, they're going to be missing a lot of pieces to boot.
Yeah, I think that makes total sense, and that's kind of where I've been all week and all morning for sure. I think just the fact that, I mean, the idea that he'd be limited Wednesday, Thursday, and be a full go on Friday seemed like a stretch. And if he's not a full go today, he's not playing. Like you said, if Quinn comes out and says, whoa, once we close the doors, you should have seen how good he looked. He was a full participant. And by the way, if he did that, I think he should say, and probably would say, it'll be a game time decision.
Right, right. I mean, it was almost a little surprising last week, just purely from a gamesmanship perspective, that Quinn called it as early as he did on Friday. But yes, I mean, I would imagine that, yes, no matter, even in the best case scenario, it's probably a we'll see where we are on Sunday. But, you know, again, it just seems unlikely based on where things are right now. I would imagine we'll see Mariota. But again, Quinn will talk to us about 20 minutes and we'll see if we get a more definitive update.
So let's just go with he's not going to play Sunday. Last week we learned he really wasn't ever close to playing. Do you think we'll learn this week that he was close to playing, or are we going to go through this again next week?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, from what we can see, there's been at least some progress made. I mean, in the sense that, like, he was out there the first 2 days of this week limited, whereas last week he didn't go out on the field until the final day. So I guess you could argue that's progress. It really, you know, all the stuff that we see is more anecdotal. It really comes down to, you know, how does he feel when he's having to, you know, push off on the leg, on the knee, you know, cutting, things along those lines. He's saying he's fine, but of course he's going to say that. So, you know, it won't stun me if we are kind of in limbo going into, you know, coming into Monday of next week. And, you know, for no other reason, again, Dan Quinn might as well, you know, be as vague as possible from a competitive standpoint if he can. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I at the moment, I'm just not feeling that Jaden is close enough to say he's close enough to play, if that makes sense. So,
yeah, no, I'm with you.
So I kind of feel like we'll be waiting a bit more. But like I said, at least to a degree that he's been out there, you know, has me a little encouraged, just in terms of where he's at longer term, but not necessarily for this week.
What about Bill? What about Krosky Merritt, who's missed 2 days of practice this week?
Yeah, you know, yesterday he was out there in full pads, but ultimately didn't practice. We saw him out here today, but they were doing like special teams work when we were out there, so he was with a lot of guys just sort of watching. I think there's a, you know, my sense is there's a chance he does practice today and therefore could be available for Sunday, but, you know, again, you know, he's already been banged up a couple times now in his very short career, including back in the preseason. So, you know, if they decide to hold him out, you know, that's not going to be surprising. And even if he did play, you know, you would have to think maybe he's a little more limited. But, you know, we'll see. They, you know, missing 2 days in a row of practice with a knee doesn't seem like a great way to head into a week. And even if they say he practices in full today, whatever that means, a Friday practice is I won't say it's a walkthrough, but it's more akin to that than it is what you're perceiving as like a full-blown practice. They're not going to be out there for terribly long today, et cetera. So, you know, this is not really in my view, a layman's view, not a true full test. But, you know, obviously if it's a pain issue or just the training staff feeling comfortable, you know, I could see him potentially getting the go-ahead. And, you know, I was told earlier in the week, this is not considered to be a big deal. That's not the same as saying he would play, but in terms of you hear knee and you get, oh boy, how concerning is this? I think it's just some soreness. So we'll have to see how comfortable they would be. And, you know, like all the other spots, if somehow he doesn't play, you know, you were really getting into like crazy thin territory as to who would be stepping in. And same thing at receiver, obviously.
Yeah. One of the things I was thinking about is that even if all the backs were healthy, Jeremy McNichols might be in there a lot more this week. Atlanta's like top five, top six, something like that in blitz rate. And they clearly feel more comfortable with him in pass pro. And then after the performance last week, who knows? All right. I'll ask you the question that I asked callers for about two or three segments. 3 weeks ago, if I'd said they're going to play a game without their two best players, Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin, the confidence level in them winning that game against a, you know, a medium level talent wise would have been pretty low. Where is it now?
Yeah, I mean, it's still pretty low. You know, look, the defense has obviously played well in two of the last three games, and, you know, they are going to be now, they already lost Dietrich Wise. Now Will Harris is on IR. You know, looks like beyond that, they should be in pretty good health. And if the defense is legit, I mean, by the numbers, they've been very good so far this year as a pass rushers, even stopping the run. They're up to 12th after a dismal year last year. But, of course, they've played a couple of really poor opponents in the Raiders and the Giants, so that's why it's hard to tell. But the Atlanta didn't score last week against Carolina and got whooped. You know, they've got their own offensive concerns with Michael Penix, the young quarterback, still learning. So if Washington's defense is legit, if they look like the team that they did in those, you know, two of those first three games, then they could come out and win this game. You know, of all the offense, you know, as a viable partner, not turning the ball over, things like that. But if it's left to the offense to have to figure this out, I mean, look, the offense did way better last week than I would have assumed, considering the pieces they were missing. But now you're tacking on Terry McLaurin on top of no Jaden, perhaps no John Bates, no Noah Brown. You know, what we're talking about, how much could a Ja'Cory Brooks coming off the practice squad play, right? And that's not a crazy question. Like, that's where we're at with this group. So it's hard to see how the offense is going to lead the way. But if the defense does, if the defense shows up, then, yeah, I think they could still go in there and win. But it's just, without Jaden and Terry, the margin of error is just incredibly thin.
Yeah. They'd really have to keep ahead of the chains and not be in passing situations with the receivers they might put out on the field against a team that loves to get after the quarterback and play man coverage behind it. We're talking, of course, to Ben Standing. So, I don't know, it was Tuesday or Wednesday this week. Max and I did a segment. We took calls on the top three players through the first 3 weeks. And my number one was Dorrance Armstrong. And to have talked a lot about his versatility, where he lines up all over the place, his effectiveness, certainly as a pass rusher. He's dropped in coverage a little bit. And then I just saw before you came on that you just wrote about him yesterday. So you've got some really good numbers on Dorrance Armstrong. Share them.
Yeah, look, as an individual, he's off to a great start. According to Next Gen Stats, he leads defensive linemen in pass rush pressures with 18 and pressure rate at 25% of his rushes to, you know, being effective in that regard. Accordingly, Washington as a whole is first in the league in pass rush percentage, and I think they're third in sacks. He's got, you know, one sack in every single game. He's been relentless. I always think sacks, you know, can sometimes be an overrated stat in that you can have one sack and be kind of invisible on the other plays, but it looks like you're doing something. But that's not the case here. He's being a presence all the time. But I think what's intriguing about this is, go back to the playoffs last year. This isn't just about these three games. Exactly. In the playoffs last year, he had 3.5 sacks. So in his last six games, 6.5 sacks, that's more than he had the entire regular season last year. And, you know, I talked to him this week, and he said, hey, you know, really, I was getting there. I just wasn't finishing the plays. And we've heard that, you know, I remember we heard that a lot about in the Montez Sweat, Chase Young days. You know, the pressures might be there, but they weren't getting the sacks. And Armstrong is delivering on that. And I think the other part that's interesting here is, you know, we spent an inordinate amount of time this offseason discussing, hey, this team needs to get more pass rushing, you know, trade for Trey Hendrickson, draft somebody in the first round, you know, whatever. And obviously they didn't really do any of that. Now, it's not to say that Dorrance Armstrong is Micah Parsons or Myles Garrett or any of those guys, but it is to say I think they have more belief in his potential than, you know, maybe collectively we all did. He's not a household name. He's not a guy who's mentioned in Pro Bowls. But, you know, in Dallas, he had, you know, 7-8 sack seasons playing part-time. He started more games last year than he did in his entire 6 years with Dallas. So, yeah. So I think the staff saw more of the potential than, you know, at least from a pass rush perspective, than, you know, probably the collective public conversation was about it. And, you know, so far that's paying off. And, you know, and look, give credit to, you know, he's feeding off of what Payne and Kinlaw are doing inside. Again, the defense as a whole has been looking good, but a lot of it has to do with him and his ability to not just rush the passer, but play all over the place. So depending on the line, on who's in there, he can adjust and that, you know, allows other guys to be more comfortable with what they're doing while he's still pretty effective no matter where he is.
Yeah, Ben had some really good information on Armstrong's versatility in terms of where he lines up through three games anyway in his Substack column. All right, let's just assume that it's Mariota and no Terry and no Bates and no Noah Brown. How do they beat the Falcons? And then what's your prediction?
Oh, boy. Well, look, I mean, in two of these three games they've run for at least 200 yards, needless to say, that would have to be a huge key. Of course, we don't even know if Bill would play, and if he does, you know, how much he would play. Chris Rodriguez and McNichols, at least, you know, they were effective last week for sure. And, you know, I think Rodriguez's toughness inside, I think, is an element that helped them out. And I would imagine they would lean on those guys. Mariota, obviously, will move. We'll be on the move as well. Debo Samuel is their best playmaker, based on the current group, and Zach Ertz has been effective. But ultimately, I really think it's going to probably come down to the defense, that the defense, you know, has to keep Michael Penix in this state of, you know, uncertainty that he seemed to be showing last week with in that game against Carolina. He throws a pick six. You know, his numbers just have not been there. Atlanta has plenty of weapons. Drake London, Bijan Robinson, Darnell Mooney. Their pass rush is pretty good. Their defense statistically has been really on point this year, but the offense has just been a mess. So, you know, for Washington to win, I think their defense just has to be on point. Offense can't commit any turnovers. And like you said, got to stay ahead of the chains. You know, the fact that Atlanta is coming off a disaster game and Washington has all the injuries, it kind of makes me want to lean towards saying the Falcons win something like, you know, 17-16. But, you know, we'll find out, you know, Sunday afternoon if Atlanta is just completely reeling. They are clearly a desperate team. They fired their wide receiver coach. They're moving their play caller from the booth to the sideline. They are feeling like they got to do something, and I get it. Like, their entire staff is on the verge of, you know, getting fired if they don't turn this thing around. So there's desperation there. Sometimes that leads to success. Sometimes that leads to panic. But, you know, all things considered, I would guess Atlanta wins if Washington is this shorthanded, but I'm not going to doubt Washington's resolve regardless of who's out there.
Okay. A little bit of hedge there. let us follow Ben on X on Twitter, and you'll get the update. We're going to try to carry Quinn when he talks, probably, what, in about 5 or 10 minutes?
Something like that. I see PR is already standing over my shoulder here waiting, so I think I'll be coming here shortly.
Thanks. I'll talk to you this weekend.
Yeah, man. See ya.
Ben Standing, everybody. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. I would imagine we'll get some information on the quarterback situation, and I'm guessing he's going to rule Terry out when he speaks. So we'll carry that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Dan Quinn's set to speak out in Ashburn. We'll carry that live when he gets started. It is a great football weekend. Talked about, you know, the football starts tonight with Virginia and Florida State. Huge game. There's a big game in the Big 12, Arizona State, TCU. TCU's a playoff contender if they win that game. Remember, they were in the national championship game just a couple of years ago. Tomorrow is insane with, you know, Ole Miss, LSU, Bama, Georgia, Penn State, Oregon. And there are other big games, too. I'll tell you what, Fayetteville for Notre Dame in town. Arkansas's lost two heartbreakers. But, man, that place and that town and that college has been waiting for this Notre Dame game for years. That's a 12 noon kick. College football, great. Then we've got the NFL card, and I want to go through that a little bit, and we'll throw to Quinn when he starts here. We get our first Sunday morning game. Dublin. God, that would be a fun place to see a game. Vikings and Steelers. You know, the Vikings basically have two of their road games this year in Europe. You know, they don't have to, they play one less road games than some teams, two less road games than a lot of teams. Now, some would say, well, they got to be in Europe back-to-back weeks because they play the Browns there next week. I don't know. I think I'd rather give up the two road games for that. But we've got Vikings, Steelers. Remember, the Vikings were in the running for Aaron Rodgers in this offseason, and they ended up not doing it. He ended up picking the Steelers. This is an interesting game. Minnesota's defense is very good. Playmakers all over the place. Isaiah Rodgers with that big game last week with a fumble return for a touchdown and a pick six for a touchdown. Minnesota's a 2.5-point favorite. I don't like the game either way, but Pittsburgh may have a bit of the home field advantage. Dan Rooney was the ambassador to Ireland during the Obama years. A lot of big Steeler fans over there. But the Vikings, actually, I didn't know this, they've got the best ever international record. 4-0, the Vikings are in international games. We get to the 1 o'clock window, and the big game is Eagles at Bucks, a matchup of two 3-0 teams. The Eagles are currently 3.5-point favorites. No Mike Evans. Godwin may be back for them. The Heat is supposed to be a factor, and because of that, the Eagles actually flew out a day early to try to get acclimated to the humidity and the weather. 90s temperatures, humidity high. This is a big game in the NFC. If you believe that Tampa is going to be a factor all season long, this could be one of these games we look back at and say it was significant for seeding, home field advantage, et cetera. The Eagles got blown out last year in Tampa in week 4, but they were a very injured team heading into that game. And by the way, after that game is when the Eagles went on an absolute tear. Browns off that unbelievable win against Green Bay with arguably right now the best defense. They certainly have a claim to be the best defense in the NFL. They're allowing the fewest yards per game in the NFL. With that said, the Lions are second in scoring and number one in expected points added per play. This is an explosive offense against a lights-out defense. Hell of a matchup with Detroit having the short week coming off that emotional, you know, intense Monday night win over Baltimore. They are 10.5-point favorites right now to beat the Browns. Giants will start Jackson Dart 1 o'clock at home against the Chargers, coming west to east for an early start. Giants played that Sunday night game, and this is a, you know, who knows game. I almost gave the Giants out in the smell test because everybody's on the Chargers. Did you know that Jim Harbaugh is something like 90% in games against a rookie quarterback as a pro coach? But I think a lot of people in New York think you can't get worse than what Russell Wilson was last week. That was an embarrassing performance, and I think he is done. I don't think anybody will give him a shot. Saints, after they got absolutely roasted against Seattle last Sunday at the Bills, who are 3-0. Bills played a pretty, you know, close game with Miami throughout most of it. We'll see whether or not guys like Oliver and Milano are back. They've got multiple starters out on defense potentially again. Spencer Rattler didn't play well. They thought he had been playing well. They are 15.5 to 16-point underdogs at Buffalo. That's the biggest spread of the year. Panthers, after that 30-0 win, go to New England. If the Patriots are going to be one of those surprise wild card contending teams, because Buffalo's going to win that division, they got to beat the Panthers at home this week. That's a game you got to win. They turned the ball over 5 times against the Steelers last week at home and still had a chance to win the game, losing only by 7. But for those Drake May fans, for those Vrabel fans, I'm one of those for sure. This is a game you got to have if you're going to be in the hunt in the AFC for a playoff spot. The Texans are 0-3 after winning the division for, what, 3 years in a row? This is a must-win at home against the Titans, or you can call it a season for Houston. The thing about their 3-0 mark is that all 3 games were winnable. The opener against the Rams, the Bucks game on Monday Night Football, and the Jags last week. They were driving late down 17-10 with a chance. I don't think the Texans are a bad team at 0-3. Can they turn it around enough to get back into the playoff mix? Maybe, but that requires certainly a win over the struggling 0-3 Titans. You go to the 4 o'clock window, Rams 2-1 at home against the surprising 3-0 Colts. I don't know if the Colts are real. I know this. We talked about this last year. Their roster is pretty good, and it has been good. Jonathan Taylor is leading the NFL in rushing yards with 338 in total. Obviously, Daniel Jones playing at a high level with some pretty good receivers. They have, you know, survived, you know, that week 2 game against Denver where they missed a game-winning field goal, but Denver was called for a penalty. And their other 2 wins are against the Dolphins and the Titans. So we will learn a lot more about the Indianapolis Colts Sunday in L.A. with the Rams coming off that devastating blown lead loss in Philadelphia. I think the Rams are excellent. This is a really interesting game. Rams are 3.5-point favorites. I kind of like the Rams to win this game. Puka Nacua is off to, you know, a truly, you know, first, you know, team AP All-Pro kind of a season. Also in the 4 o'clock window early, Jags at Niners. The Jags are 2-1. The 49ers lost Nick Bosa. That is a huge deal. Man, they have really been on the wrong side of the injury bug. The Jags are 2-1, but man, they have a dropped pass problem led by Brian Thomas Jr., you know, one of those rookie stars last year. But they've got a bunch of drop passes this year for Trevor Lawrence. That hurts. This is an interesting game. The 49ers are 3.5-point favorites in Santa Clara. Can they get to 4-0 even without Brock Purdy? There's a chance he might play. Can you imagine if Mac Jones comes in and they're 3-0 with Mac Jones? But, you know, Purdy and Kittle and Jennings and now Bosa, they've had their fair share of injuries. And then we get, you know, what looked like the biggest game of the early season with Ravens at Chiefs at Arrowhead in a standalone 425 spot. Actually, it's not standalone. Bears and Raiders are playing as well. You know, I kind of feel like either team can rebound from a 1-3 start. I'm not in that hysterical if, you know, either team loses, they're done. All right, we do have Quinn. He started. Let's go to Ashburn for the coach.
Well, let's get rolling. I thought first thing I'd do, I'd give you some guys that we'll rule out today. That'll be John Bates, Terry McLaurin, Noah Brown, and Jaden Daniels. And I know you'll want to discuss with Jaden. He's working incredibly hard around the clock to get back. Ultimately, doctors haven't cleared him just yet. He's absolutely doing everything he possibly can. So Marcus is going to start again, which leads me into captains. And so on the offense, it will be Marcus. And defensively, Quan Martin. And on special teams, Tress Way. These three have a tremendous impact on the entire building and legit heavy hitters on our team in lots of ways. So we'd follow these three anywhere. So glad to open it up and get rolling with you guys.
With Jaden, what is it that you guys still aren't seeing full enough yet?
Medical. John on that side. So this is just doctors on that space to go. Jaden's working, you know, as hard as he can to go. They just haven't cleared him just yet.
And with Terry, what's the level of concern that it's – is this something a few weeks, you think, or what's the level of concern there?
Yeah, it's a quad injury. Just, he's, again, working as hard as he can to come back from it. And he's putting all the work in. So I would say he's week to week as we're hitting it and see what next week brings and where he's at. And most of all you guys know that – when it turns, then it goes quicker. So we'll just see where he gets into by next week.
What have you learned about Marcus over the, year and a half you've been with him?
Yeah, I think I've learned about leading from him, when to lean in, when to watch, when to give support, and he's very thoughtful. And so I think there's a part of leading that goes into that of when to lean in and speak up, when to watch, let somebody else, you know, assume that space. And I think that's one of the rare traits, you know, that a person can have of leaning in, but also knowing when to push someone else into that space. But I think the work ethic, the perseverance is what I've learned about him. He's dealt with injuries, setbacks, and just his attitude. He's so consistent, Nikki, in what he does. That's what I've learned about him. The approach, it doesn't waver. And that's something that I really respect about him.
He's been pretty open about the anxiety, the fears he's faced, and dealing with the adversity he has in his career. How did you see him kind of process everything with his first start last week and now coming into this week? How has that been for him from your perspective?
Yeah, I think you have to go through those spaces and then lean in to know, okay, man, the discussions we had was be you, man. That's more than enough. And you don't have to overtry or put an extra spot on it. And so I was very proud of him for that. Being able to share and peer to peer to others, that's a really powerful thing. And so sharing perspective, sharing insights with one another, I think that's as big as it gets. And I think everybody saw the clip last year when I think it might have even been against Atlanta. We're only player to player sometimes. It can be so impactful. As much as a coach, especially on game day, gives you the truth, we're hard on these guys in practice, but on game day, we're their biggest supporters to make it as hard as we can out on the practice field. But sometimes in between that white line, just hearing the familiar voice of a teammate, hey, man, this is what you have to go do right now. Like, it carries extra. And I think that wasn't meant for everybody to hear, and it was typical of what he would say.
Hey, Coach, how have you seen the pass rush flourish in these first 3 weeks?
Yeah, we're working hard at that, Donna, to find different matchups. I think the players have done a better job using stunts, how to manipulate that. Vaughn being here, Jake Martin being here, I think DA inside and outside. That's all of that's been a part of it. We still feel like we've got, you know, many levels to go with that, but we like that the communication, the continuity of those guys working at it together. I feel like the arrow is going up. Different quarterbacks, different styles. Where are they? Where do they scramble? Where's the protection? So I feel like we're getting smarter as we're going. And that's a big piece, you know, to keep continuing to practice.
Teams, could you talk a little bit about that last week? They had 100 some yards in the kickoff and also in the punt return. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, as difficult as it was on at the Green Bay game on offense, defense, I thought we missed some of our identity. I didn't feel like we missed it on special teams. I thought we had some good returns. We had some opportunities to do it. So it is one of the stronger parts of us. We've gotten to the spot that, and we've learned that each of the phases, we're all connected to one another. And it's just playing ball, man. I'm a receiver. I'm play teams. I'm just a ball player. And so when that happens and you're not just an island to yourself and I just do this or I just do that, and like everybody's down for whatever it takes to go, I think that's when the good things can take place. Izzo's right there in the front of it. Like, this is the type of guy like you'd want to play for. He's got energy, but I love also seeing the development of like Jordan McGee and Tyler Owens. Like, they've established themselves, their presence, their speed, their physicality, and there'll be others, you know, that will grow from it. Belor's in the middle of that, and they help bring the next ones along. And I think if we can continue into that space of continuing to develop people, the field position battles are going to be a big one. And our special teams will be right in the middle of that, including Tress too, you know, in terms of can we punt and keep them backed up into those spots. We had one with lose Antonio Hamilton, you know, caught a punt that was downed. So all of those things, they add up. And so some of the margins in the game you hear me talk about are turnover margin, tackling margin, but winning field position, that's a big piece of it. And the return game, both sides, that'll be a factor again this week. I really feel like fourth downs, offense, defense, and on special teams, the punt return, they're going to be right in the front and center of this game too.
You're listening to Dan Quinn live out in Ashburn. He did rule out Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin for Sunday's game in Atlanta.
So what can you say about this draft class and what you've seen so far in them?
Well, I would say it's nice to share it around a little bit. Last year, we just, you know, one guy just took it the whole time. He didn't share it around. So it shows that the versatility, the class, and they're ready. I think it shows their willingness to put it all out there to say, I'm ready to contribute, to be a part of this, whether that's through Bill, that's through Jalen. There'll be others, but it's a great way to express themselves and demonstrate it, that they can be counted on, they can be leaned in on. Although they're young in their careers, they're ready. And when somebody gets to demonstrate that and get, you know, recognized for it, yeah, obviously we're all pumped for them.
And yesterday I asked Cliff about Coach Anthony Lynn and what he's done to prepare the running back room. So what, from your perspective, what can you share as well?
Yeah, Anthony's an incredible story for those that don't know enough about him. Resilient, he's tough, he's demanding, but he's also somebody that played it, has lived it. He's got leadership experience from play caller to head coach. So at the position, step by step by step, like he just doesn't miss any of those. How do we drill it? How do we get to the next spot? Oftentimes with running backs, it's pass protection. Where are they? So Anthony, very detailed into that space. So we're really fortunate that he's here, not just as the running back coach, but just, you know, on our staff, what he stands for.
Dan, you didn't mention Bill as part of the injury report. I'm sure we'll see that later. But if he were to be out, he missed obviously the last two practices. What does that do for a room that's already shorthanded? What about you guys you have on practice squad? How do they might factor in?
Yep. He did a good job today. Yep. Good practice, yeah.
So that sounds positive then.
Yep.
Okay. than at least to have that already missing so many guys. I know this is a next man up situation, but how do you kind of do you look at this and like, oh man, like where do we turn? Or just, hey, this is what we practice for. This is why we have depth, et cetera.
Like in general?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think I don't talk to the team about it a lot. And the reason being is I wanted, you know, when the moments come, I wanted to prepare for that, Ben, as a certainty, not a possibility, you know, whether it's, you know, who knows what position, you know, it could have been running back or tight end or receiver, whatever that looks like. That's the job. That's why you're here. And you get those chances. And when they come, you want to make sure you don't overtry it. I wanted this so badly. I need to perform at a certain space. Play calling wise, I think Cliff and Joe, they recognize how to feature the players of the things they can do. It's not just rinse and repeat, same plays, same ways. It's how do you feature the players and the things that they do best. And I thought Cliff did a really good job of that last week, and that's our role, is to make sure it's not everybody's in the same spot. So how do you feature the guys? And that's why the practice reps really count, Ben, because you want to make sure that this player has been in that scenario, that situation, and how do we match up. And that's, you know, on all sides, it's Will Harris, it's others that say, okay, how do you go into these spaces? And it may not be in the exact same way it was with Eckler, not in the exact same way. And so you just keep digging, man.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach. Just to kind of build on the running back conversation, last week you guys were able to feature a good amount of guys carrying the ball. And each of them was relatively
effective. All right, that was Dan Quinn. He'll continue. If he says anything else, we'll let you know. But he got right to it. Jaden Daniels out, Terry McLaurin out for Sunday's game. First game Terry's missed in his last 72 regular season games. Quad injury, he called it week to week. Jaden, medical didn't clear him. He's been working really hard, but they have not cleared him, he said, quote, just yet, closed quote. But he is out. So is Noah Brown again and John Bates. Bill Krosky Merritt is a go, as he practiced today. There will be other players on the injury report, but the headline there, no Jaden, no Terry. They're going to go into this game limited. Marcus Mariota, by the way, named one of the team captains for this game, according to the head coach. The other captains being Quan Martin and the punter, Tress Way. Look, this Jaden injury, I would guess that when it was first looked at, somebody said medically, yeah, this is a 2 to 4 weeker. Now, whether or not it's 2 weeks or it's 3 weeks or 4 weeks, we're going to find out in the same way we've been finding out week to week whether or not he's going to play. Of course, if he reports next week to practice in advance of the Chargers game and he's a full go on Wednesday and a full go on Thursday, well, we then know. But if he's limited next week, then we start that whole process again, unless Quinn tells us on Monday we feel really good about Jaden being ready to go against the Chargers. Terry, week-to-week quad injury, you know, we've talked about this injury all week. We'll see. But, you know, didn't have a chance, clearly, of practicing this week. We'll see what happens next. But they are entering, you know, this venue Sunday against a team that will be desperate after being embarrassed last week. A team that less than 2 weeks ago blew out Minnesota on their home field on Sunday Night Football. Shut them down defensively, ran it down their throats offensively, and people after that game were saying, ooh, is Atlanta in the conversation of one of the better teams in the NFC? That's the nature of the league. It's week to week, which is why you cannot count on a 30-0 loss to the Panthers effort Sunday at home. They'll be a desperate team, and Washington's going to be limited offensively, no doubt, without their two best players. We'll finish up the show with predictions, all right? 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We now know Marcus Mariota will get his second start against, by the way, one of his former teams for a second consecutive week. He was a Raider, and the last time he started before last week was in Atlanta in 2022. So the Marcus Mariota revenge tour continues, we'll see. He's got a shot to certainly stick it to two of his former teams, even though the coaching staffs in both of those places are completely different than when he was there. 301-230-0980. Need a prediction, a final score prediction, and, you know, a footnote. Give me a footnote, something that you think will be a part of either their loss or their win Sunday in Atlanta. I'll have my prediction when we come back as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, and the team980.com.
Happy Friday, folks. This is Wesley Clark. Europe currently leads the United States 3-1 in the Ryder Cup. Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Thomas lost 5-3, while Scotty Scheffler's group went down 5-3. Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin were not seen at practice today. Head coach Dan Quinn told the media in his Friday press conference that both will be out for this week's matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. If you like drama, then tune in to last week's weekend of Major League Baseball season. Boston, Houston, Cleveland, and Detroit are all fighting for playoff spots. The Guardians made history by erasing a 15.5 game deficit in the American League Central, the largest comeback in MLB history. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Denton's office throughout the football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you decide to join, and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. I'm Wesley Clark with the Team 980.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So with the news that Jaden is out, the line just went from Atlanta plus one to now Atlanta a minus 1.5. They're a 1.5-point favorite, so a quick 2.5-point jump on the news that Jaden's out, and Terry and all of the injuries that they have, but it's always quarterback-driven. I gave out Atlanta plus one in the smell test. I'll give you Atlanta minus one. I'll change that to Atlanta minus one, because that's a fair way to do it. I still like the Falcons, even though they are a 1-point favorite instead of a 1 to 1.5-point dog. All right. My prediction on the game, I like the Falcons Sunday. I think they bounce back. They win 24-17. I actually think that Cliff is going to scheme some stuff up. A lot of short passing game, a lot of, you know, certainly using Debo in the run game, using everything they have, including McNichols, including Rodriguez, perhaps Bill as well. They'll try to, you know, control the football as much as they can. Going to be tough to stretch the field, you would think, on Sunday. Like I said earlier in the show, you don't want to be in second and third and longs. Atlanta blitzes. They play man coverage behind it. They'll play a ton of man, you would think, against the receiver core here. I like Atlanta to win the game 24-17 Sunday. 301-230-0980. Wes is in for Max. Wes, do you have a pick?
I do have a pick. I'm not really worried about Mariota. I think he's still going to get the win 17-13. Guys are definitely going to have to step up on the skilled positions, but they're still going to get the job done.
17-13. My footnote, by the way, is Michael Penix Jr. bounces back with a strong game. Let's go to Paulie. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, how you doing, man? Hail to the W.
What's up? You too.
Hey, listen. I got us 34-21. And, listen, you saying that Atlanta's going to come out motivated. Well, you know what? We're going to come out motivated, too. Because one thing this team got is intestinal fortitude. You got a quarterback who still wants to prove his point in Mariota. Yeah, it might be different coaching staff, but that uniform and that city is still the same. He got something to prove. We got running backs who got something to prove. And I'm looking for a 100-yard game tomorrow. Whoever back gets the most carries, they go your 100-yard game. We haven't had one from a back in a while. I think Sunday's a good time to get one. All right? Last year, we was led throughout the season by our offense until the defense came around. But this year, we're going to be led by our defense until this offense can get healthy. All right?
Okay.
So like I said, 34-21. Mariota with a big game rushing, and the running backs with a big game rushing, 100-yard rushing this week.
I hope you're right. Talk to you Monday. Chris in Maryland, what do you got? Final score prediction with a footnote. Chris, you there? Let's go to Rick in North Carolina. Rick, go ahead. I got you now, Chris. Go ahead. Okay, go to Rick in North Carolina.
Hey, Kevin. Washington. I have us winning the game 26-23. Matt Gay kicks a winning 52-yard field goal at the end.
That'd be nice.
I think they'll be able to stretch the field with Jaylen Lane on the outside.
With who on the outside?
With Jaylen Lane on the outside.
Okay.
In
with Jaylen Lane.
Terry spot. Because he's got
right.
the speed, so he can, she should
People
be able
still
to stretch
confident.
The field for them.
Y'all are still confident. That's good. Let's go to Chris. Chris, go ahead.
My bad, Kevin. I'm the only Falcons fan in the area. I got to tell you something about the Falcons that a lot of people don't know. But my prediction score is the Falcons 27, the Commanders 13. But I'm going to tell you a couple things a lot of people don't know. The big blow for the Falcons this weekend is a lot of people not talking about is A.J. Terrell's not going to play this weekend
because
the Falcons
out.
Got a bye week. And that is a big blow for Atlanta. That's the reason why Atlanta's So they have two corners they don't trust. They only have one corner that they really trust is A.J. Terrell, and that's why they blitz a lot. The Carolina game, even though the score says 30-0, Carolina had a lot of short fields. But Atlanta only gave up 5 plays over 20 yards this whole year.
Yeah, I know.
They don't like, and they have a decent
points.
They have a decent defensive line, and I just want to tell you the Falcons are the worst offensive team in the red zone. Well, almost the worst. They're 30th. Washington got one of the best offenses in the red zone. So if you keep the game close, Falcons going to move the ball, but they can't convert in the red zone. So Falcons don't allow you big plays. Justin Jeffries had the biggest play with 50 yards this year. That's the play A.J. Terrell got hurt on before halftime. Falcons don't give up big plays. You got to move the ball consistent. And
okay.
That's how you beat them.
I got to roll. I'm up against a hard out, but I appreciate it. Yeah, by the way, also, I didn't mention this. Atlanta's kicker, who they had, who did great against Minnesota, missed a couple of kicks last week against the Panthers. All right, back on Monday. Russell's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.